morning, everybody. My name is Derek. I'm one of the pastors here. And I'm excited to be here with you again this morning. I have a couple things before we get started and what it is that we have set aside to talk about this morning. A couple things that I want to mention. One is that this coming Sunday is another Evenings with Fahim. And this is a great, if you haven't been to one of these, you haven't caught them online, Pastor Fahim does such a great job of leading these conversations. And again, well, we're partnering together in creating some reach, some scope for the church in order to have these conversations. And so please, if you can, come out and be a part of that. It's a good time to be a part of. If you can, it goes online, and they do a great job of editing that together to be put on there. So that's happening at 7 o'clock this coming Sunday night. And also, I wanted to mention, many of you are aware, but our brother Lance Davidson had passed away a few weeks ago. And his celebration of life is going to be here next Sunday at 2 o'clock at the church, right in this very room. And if you would like to be a part of that, please come and be a part of that, celebrating who Lance is and celebrating that he's beat us. He's beat us in the race, and he is with the Lord and celebrating with him there. So that's next Sunday, 2 o'clock here at the church, if you'd like to be a part of that with us. And now I'd like to invite my friend, Pastor Fahim, to come and join me on the stage. Come on up.
Thanks, brother.
So we have been in this series called We the Church, and we've been having some great conversations that I have been really, really enjoying. I've been enjoying it because each of these conversations, as we talk about being a church that prays, a church that worships, a church that gives, all of these things, that it has actually, and I'm not, this isn't me being a pastor, you know, exaggerating things, it's actually been a great formative experience for me. The Lord has really challenged me on how kind of cohesively I've embraced these things. And I've also really enjoyed that I've been having a lot of conversations with some of you in the weeks afterwards as we kind of wrestle through, what does this mean? What is this going to look like? Because the Lord has a powerful vision for the church.
Amen.
And it's one that he's going to realize through, that he wants to realize through us. The first one Amen. We did was when we said, we the church, the fact that God chooses to work through us, which is still, if you think about it for longer than 5 seconds, a crazy idea, but that God chooses to work through us. And if we want the church to be able to manifest the will of God in these areas, it's going to come through individual decisions to partner with him. And today, I have the opportunity to share the stage with my friend, Pastor Fahim, and we're going to talk about being a church that shares. Now, last week when we were talking about being a church that gives, I mentioned that this is potentially one of the awkward conversations to have in churches, because it can be a sensitive topic to talk about money. And again, to be fair, people have had negative experiences with that, or the church may have a negative reputation in the world at large, and so that may be taken as a reason to shy away from that. But that's just not how I'm set up. How I'm set up is, if there's an awkward conversation to have, I get excited about it. And this might be a decision point for you in Riverside, but if the Lord is asking us to, if the Holy Spirit is inspiring us to have a conversation, if it's going to be an awkward one, we're just going to lean into it, okay? And I'm open to feedback via email or in person afterwards, but we're going to have those conversations. And as we were preparing for this week, it occurred to me that this is actually another potentially awkward conversation. Because in talking about being a church that shares, we are talking about evangelism, right? Evangelism, which is kind of like a bit of a kind of loaded word in church circles. And maybe in your personal experience, maybe you haven't been around the church for a long time, but you walk past someone with a bullhorn and a lot of really angry signs. And you, when I say evangelism, that's what you imagine. Or maybe like me, sometimes someone says, you know, isn't it great that we get to share the gospel with people? And it has this moment where I'm like, yeah, that's great that I get to do that all the time, right? Because every day I'm sharing the gospel, right? And, you know, and someone asked me one time, well, how long ago was it that you got to actually lead someone to Jesus? So it was actually Pastor Terry asked me that question. I was like, oh, no. Like, this is it. And he was, to be clear, he had an excellent follow-up caveat for that. Ministry doesn't count. Like, if you're leading a church service and someone raises your hand, that doesn't count. When was the last time you personally had a conversation with someone about Jesus and led them into that relationship?
Right.
It can be a really challenging to have, but it's an important conversation to have, one of the most important conversations to have. And so what I'd like to do this morning is I'm just going to kind of lay the groundwork, and then Pastor Fahim and I are going to go back and forth a little bit here. But I want to take a look at why exactly this is so important. Where does this commission come from? And so as we are doing with all these things, we're going to go to the Bible. We're going to go to the Word. But before we do that, we're going to do the thing we do at Riverside when we go to read the Bible. Because it's really easy. You can order this on Amazon. It'd be really easy to treat this like another book. But it's not another book. And so let's say this together, please. Hold up your Bible, tablet, phone, whatever you're reading it on, and say this with me, please.
This is my Bible.
It is God speaking to me. I am who he says I am. I do what he says I can do. I have what he says I can have. I choose to open my heart to receive a word from God that changes my life forever.
Amen.
So we're going to go to Matthew 28. Now, if you're looking at the notes, which, by the way, we have an app. The notes are through there. You can get to the website. I made a mistake, okay? So don't go to the church office and be like, you wrote the notes down wrong. I wrote the reference down wrong, and I didn't catch it. It's actually Matthew 28, not 18. So Matthew 28, and then we're going to be reading verses 18 to 20. So please forgive me, Reiko. I didn't check that. Don't blame her. So let's read this together. Jesus came. This is after Jesus' death and resurrection. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. We just talked about that. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen.
So it is undoubtedly a commission that Jesus has given. He gave it to the disciples, but this is a commission that transcends just the 12 disciples. It's for every Christian of all time. This is one of the main commissions that Jesus gives the church. And I honestly haven't come across anyone that would argue that it's not important that people hear the gospel, right? That it's not important. If you believe in God, if you've received Jesus, and I was to ask you, do you think in premise it is a good thing for other people to experience this as well, right? Like, I'm pretty pot committed to the whole Jesus thing. It's been a really good big part of my life. It's been the best thing that's ever happened to me, you know? And so I'm pretty sold on this. And I think if you're a Christian, if you've been a Christian for 15 minutes, please let us know. If you've been a Christian for 50 years, this is a really important part of how we view the world around us, that the people around us who don't know Jesus need to know Jesus.
Amen.
However, I have come in contact with quite a few people that would say that in premise, yes, I agree that it is important for other people to come to know Jesus, but I'm not going to tell them about him because I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to manipulate anybody. If God wants to draw them to him, he will just draw them to him. He doesn't need to use me. Who am I? He's just going to draw them in, you know, supernaturally if he wants to do that. So I'm not going to be the one to tell people about Jesus. Pastor Fahim, what do you think about that stance?
Well, I totally have a different opinion.
Do tell. Yeah.
Because, yeah, I believe, I know for sure that God has reached people who are unreachable through the dreams and through the different, you know, ways. But if people are unreachable, that God do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if people are reachable, people is my neighbor and your neighbor, and we know we can see them, then it's our responsibilities to share the gospel with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is not just a gift. This is responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But let me put it this way first. I want to say, because what we are talking tonight about, today about, it's for people who are born again and are believers. So if you are not born again, people or audience, or we will probably listen later on the line, that if you're not born again, that we're talking about the people who are born again and who do have a extra power, which is, that power is Holy Spirit that was promised to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry if you don't have it, but you know what? You can have it if you want. Let me say that.
This is true.
This is available for anyone who accept Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But let's back to the people who are believers, right? If you're born again, that means you have something. And if you have, that thing has you share it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have it, you cannot share it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe you're born again, then you able to share it. You can share it. Maybe you don't know how to do it, or maybe somebody lying to you. I don't know how to do that. I can't say that. We should not listen to that lie, because it's very clear, it's very open. In Bible, several places that said that we need to share gospel.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, there was a wise preacher said that, preach gospel anywhere with anyone you can, and if it's necessary, use some words. So preaching gospel, saying talk, sharing good news is not about like you go and tell, hey, Jesus can save you. Hey, Jesus, if you don't believe Jesus, you're going to hell. That's not a way of sharing gospel.
Mm.
But who we are, with the grace, love, patience, and ready to sacrifice for other human.
Mm-hmm.
No matter gender, age, finance, education, as long as we can see others, they are human who create in God's image, that we are responsible before them.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when we talk about kind of this whole methodology of how does God reach people, and I love that you said that, Fahim, because yeah, absolutely. I've heard stories of people where there's a dream that comes to them. I remember I was talking to someone when I went to Bible college the first time, who was our comparative religions teacher, and he was a Buddhist. And he went to sleep one night, and he had a dream, and it was Jesus. And in his particular, you know, type of Buddhism, they acknowledge Jesus as a Buddha. And he had this whole conversation with Jesus. It was like, that's not who I am. And they had a whole, like, one-on-one conversation. And he woke up in the morning. It's like, oh, no, I'm a Christian. And now my whole life needs to be changed. So that can happen. But it's fascinating to me, and this is part of, again, the ridiculousness of what we talked about earlier about God choosing to work through us, is that God's actually preferred method of reaching the world is through us. I want to share to you from Romans, and we're going to be in chapter 10, starting in verse 14. And it talks about, in that same chapter, how salvation's for everyone, like you just said. Everyone you see, it's for everyone. It says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And I love this. It's actually a pattern I've noticed as we've been talking about these different topics about, you know, what is the church called to be and how are we called to participate? What's the opportunity to participate? Is that a lot of this just makes sense. Okay, if you believe that God is real and that he wants to relate to us, to talk to us, then we should pray. When Pastor Terry was talking about prayer, the power of prayer, if God is real and he wants to talk to us, I feel like we should take him up on that offer. Because it's the creator of the universe, it wants to interact with me, I should pray. If God is real, if what we know about him we believe to be true, then as we talk about worship with Pastor Corey, why wouldn't I want to act as a priest if I've been invited to do that? As someone who helps to shape the world the way that God wants it to be shaped, to bring worship to the people, why wouldn't I want to do that? And as we talk about all these things, it just makes sense. And this is another example of it just makes sense. I love that it just breaks it down really practically here. Well, of course they should believe in him, but how would they believe in him if nobody tells them? I mean, sure, God can send, you know, dreams. He could light a bush on fire in front of their house and speak from it. But we have all sorts of stories in the Bible about when God reaches out to people. Do you know what the single most common response to seeing God is, to interacting with God? Passing out. Like Daniel, a guy who went toe-to-toe with a cave full of lions, sees a vision from God and he faints. When the Bible says he became like he's dead, that's the polite way of saying this guy just passed out, right? Interacting with God in a supernatural form is confusing for us. It can be really intimidating. And when you glimpse who God really is, again, yeah, a really correct response is, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? Something, you know, like, I'm unworthy to be here. Fear kicks in, all these things. If someone knows me already, trusts me, knows that I love them, wouldn't it be easier for them to hear this from me than from a burning bush in their front lawn? Or a vision of an angel covered in eyes with six wings and all sorts of crazy things? Wouldn't it be easier for someone who already trusts that what I have to say is true, that I have their best interests at heart. And this is the power of that whole presence of being Jesus in people's lives, is I don't have to, you know, be convincing strangers walking by me with a bullhorn. I get to cut right past a lot of that and just say to someone that knows that I love them, that I'm not working an angle on them, say, hey, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but Jesus is a huge part of my life. And it would be amazing if he could be a huge part of yours as well. Just to share what our lives are, to share what our experiences are, because why doesn't it just is the way that makes the most sense. So, Pastor Fahim, when we were talking earlier, and you can add more to that if you want, but we had also talked about, I loved your whole perspective on partnering with the Holy Spirit to do this. So what does that look like
so
for
let's,
you?
Let's a little bit switch or thinking direction different way before we sharing gospel. When Jesus was left, physically left us, and he go to heaven, he said that I'm not going to let you be alone. I will give you the helper, which is the Holy Spirit. I think these short words, many Christians are not really serious with that. We have people pray in the name of Jesus, people do the things in the name of Jesus, they want to do it and all this stuff, but we forget sometimes that we do have extra strength. We do have a power that only who born again, the believers, have it, which is Holy Spirit. And when we talk about the sharing gospel, when we talk about acting, living as a real Christians, real believers, it's very difficult. You see, when you're born again, that God will give you that gift, the Holy Spirit, no matter what. Doesn't matter who you are, man and woman. Doesn't matter poor or like rich or whatever. That's promise of the God. And then if we have that, we have to learn how to communicate with that. We have to understand. We need to communicate with that daily. Because that's with us. That is actually in us. And if you don't know it, if you don't, like, let's say somebody give you a gift of Christmas, it's a very important, very good thing. So let's say like one iPhone 16, for example, or whatever is come new one,
whatever number it's on.
And then it's a rapid, and then you just put it on the you know, on the top of your TV, and then you have it. Anytime you look at it, you're happy you have it. That is, you know. You need to open it, you need to upload the things, put your information, and you start using it. If you're not using it, then... So we need to know that, first of all, we do have extra power, which is gifted from the Lord, and we have that, and we need to have a daily communication with that. Second, when we talk about the sharing, we have to understand this is not our responsibility to make people Christian, to convert them. This is a very tiny, also, things that miscommunicating people with themselves or with the Lord or whatever. It's because I have people come to me and say, Pastor Fahim, you know, I tried to make my wife Christian for like 5-6 years. She doesn't come with Christ. She don't accept Jesus. I said, I'm glad she don't accept Jesus because of you. You know, because you're pushing her. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit do the job. So we have to know, if we understand who we are, and if we know what we have, and we know that we have to share that, because Jesus said in Matthew, we are a light. We are a salt. What do you use salt? And most of people know, like, I mean, everybody should know that. Salt is for using to give a test to the food you eat. And you have to be tested to your community, to your neighbors, to your everyone, to your partners, anyone, anywhere you go. And if you are light, you are not going to put it under the blanket, Jesus said, right? So you have to make sure everybody can see that you are light. And how we do that, again, we have to understand. There's, I just want to open bracket here. When you're born again, your, we call them, we use this idiom, turning point, right? So it means you are now, your direction of your life is totally different than other people who don't know Jesus yet. So you like, you are swimming against the river. And for swimming against the river, you always need to be active, you always need to be strong, you always need to be, you know, try to swim. Because if you don't, the water will take you with them. Mm-hmm. So there is no way that you say, oh, everything is okay, everything is rosy, right? There is a challenge in your life. There is, you have to know it. You have to see it. And you will, you're able to do that because you have Holy Spirit with you. Mm-hmm. You can do that. So we have to understand, again, we have to be always ready. And for that purpose, Paul very clearly said in Ephesians chapter 6, if you're born again, and you know you are walking or swimming against river, your direction is different, then you need to wear the dress that God gave you, the armor of the God. Mm-hmm. It's very important. It's the armor of the God is not for pastors and missionaries only. For everyone who born again, they need to wear the armor of the God. Mm-hmm. This is very important. And what is the armor of the God? There's salvation, the helmet of salvation. There is one important thing which I want to talk about because there's so much to talk. We don't have enough time. But I'm talking about the shoes that God said as part of that armor. When you wear it, that shoes mean sharing the gospel and sharing the peace and the love for people who don't have it. Mm. So you cannot say, that's not my gift. You cannot say, that's not my job. You cannot say, I cannot do that. Well, you will say that because probably you still don't have a clear communication with the Holy Spirit God give it to you inside you. Mm-hmm. We need to learn that daily communication. Again, I'm mentioning this because it's not just Sunday service. You come to the church and you talk about the God and listen about God. Mm-hmm. When you wake up in the morning, if you want your life change, if you are desperate right now, especially in this season, is it Christmas coming? A lot of people have a joy, but maybe I don't. Maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know. People who don't have it. We can have that. Every morning you wake up, remember you have Holy Spirit in you mm-hmm. and with you, and you can do it. Mm-hmm. The joy of God comes from Him, His partnership. That's why He gives it to us. I'm not saying He will solve your problem and pay your rent, but I'm saying He gives you a strength. If you are in a storm, He don't take a storm away, but He give you a strength and wisdom how to walk in a storm and come out faithfully. Mm-hmm. This is very important.
Yeah.
So we are not just saying that, hey, you know what, like I have the Holy Spirit do that. So back to the point that sharing gospel, it's a partnering with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. How I do, I want to share my testimony.
Please.
Every morning when I wake up, I'm still in my bed before I do anything. I surrendered myself to the Lord. Mm. I said, Lord, it's a new day. It could be 7 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. But the day, I said, this is my day start because I opened my eyes. Mm. Then when I want to come out, I think about it. I don't have to sit and pray like this or do like this. No. I just, He's here and here with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my heart. I said, Lord, today I'm not going to, I don't know who I'm going to meet. I probably have some appointment, but there are more people than is my appointment. Mm-hmm. Please, if you have plan for other people, use me to share gospel with them. Mm-hmm. Use me. I surrendered myself. And before, I don't know who I'm going to share gospel with, but I pray for those people. Mm-hmm. And then when I go, I mostly, my hunting spot is mall. Or anywhere I go, I just say like, you know, I have my spiritually antenna very sharp, you know, not the physically antenna, because as a human, we are sometimes very sensitive. Look at how he dress up or she do this. I don't care. I don't care how the person look. I don't look at the gender. I don't look at the, you know, size. I don't look at the anything. Just see the human as a God image. Uh-huh. And then, believe me, 80% of people I share gospel with, they come to me. I don't go to them. Mm-hmm. Because God knows. God wants to use us as a tools in His hand, but we need to surrender ourselves and we ask Him to use us. And He, people who are desperate, who are broken, maybe He prayed to Muhammad or Buddhas or whoever they pray, God look at them. They saw the broken heart. So okay, come. Mm-hmm. This man is overseas. And he likes you. And usually I try to dress up. I'm very important because impression of looking is very important. Mm. Right? I try to make sure I'm looking good. Mm-hmm. You know, not just for, you know, people, for my wife, for my kids, for my Lord. I always care about, I don't care new clothes, but I care clean clothes. I care how I look. It's very important because we are presenting Jesus. Mm-hmm. We are ambassador of the God. So how we look is important. So you look the way you like you look. Maybe some people don't like it, but believe me, God will use because you will attractive. Will be attractive to people. And they just, and your smile bring people to your table. Your smile, you look at them and they come. And then you share the gospel by your love, by your care. And this is something that I, it's my testimony, how I share the gospel with people.
And I love that. In I mean, let's not move too quickly, Pastor. There's a lot of good things you said there, Pastor Rahim. But a couple of ones that I want to just go back and highlight really quickly. It is not your responsibility to convert people to Christianity. And this is really, really important because it's important to be able to tell, like, how good of a job am I doing at something, right? And, you know, those of you that are on the staff team at the church will get tired of hearing about this, so you can check out for a couple minutes. But I always say it's important to know, like, how do we, how can we tell how we're doing with this? You know, what are the win conditions? What's the ruler that I'm using to measure the success of a thing that I'm trying to do? And that's a really important question to ask really about everything that we're doing if we're taking it seriously. And if we're going to talk about what's the ruler that I use for how am I doing in sharing the gospel, it would be potentially very defeating to say, well, nobody has received Jesus in the last 3, 6, 9 months. But that's not actually your measuring stick to use because it's an individual decision to respond to the prompting of God, right? We can show up on time. There could be this divine moment where we meet in the mall or what have you. And we just, you know, we share about Jesus with our love, with the joy of, that he's given us to pass on to others. And you have this whole interaction. And you might even ask them, hey, would you like to give your heart to the Lord? Would you like to, you know, become a part of, you know, Jesus and what God has for you today? And they go, no. And it's easy to go away thinking, oh man, I failed. Like a door-to-door vacuum salesperson, you know, like, oh man, I didn't manage to close that sale, close that deal. And that's not that's not our commission. Our commission isn't to say the right words in the right combination or leverage the right things or, you know, have like a really, you know, a child with big sad-looking eyes with us to kind of guilt people into like saying yes and everything. Like, that's not our our commission is to share. Our commission is to show our light. And that's the measuring stick that I use. So if I'm asking myself, how am I doing with sharing the gospel? The question is much more about how am I doing with listening to the Holy Spirit? How am I doing with showing other people my, my love? How am I doing with engaging with the world around me? That's my measuring stick. The response is up is between them and God. And especially because the Bible's really clear that likely on someone's journey, they're going to get hit 10, 12, 15, 100 times with the gospel before they say yes. You know, one person plants, another person waters, another person harvests. So when I do get to have that moment where someone says, yeah, you know what, I think I would like to give my heart to the Lord. I think I would like to pray that prayer with you today. One of the things I need to be celebrating is all the people before me who had those conversations, who shared that love and didn't get to have this moment. And praise God that I get to have that moment.
Yeah, I like to just say that about it's not our responsibility. Sometimes we are passionate, we want to share the gospel, and we start talking and arguing with some other people who don't believe Jesus yet. You know, because we have a strength and we have extra power, Holy Spirit, we have a knowledge, we read the Bible. Usually if we have a conversation about God, 90% we will win, except we have with somebody who's really have no lot of knowledge about other things, then we have to be prepared. But mostly we will win the conversation. But you know, that's not the point, because if you win the conversation with the argument, if you win the argument, you will lose the heart. We don't want to win the argument. We want to win the hearts. And we have to be very careful and sensitive when we talk about Jesus. You know, if you come to the point that just come to the argument and comparable, like I have Muhammad, you have Jesus, I stop. I let the moment to the Holy Spirit, because my Jesus is God, your Muhammad is human, or your Buddha is whatever is that. But I don't compare God with the human. Yes, Jesus was fully human too, but the perfect human, not the sinners. You see, it's not Burger King, McDonald's, we compare it. We have to be very careful. Like, for example, other things I just want to say, like people like go and they share gospel. They want to share gospel, like how they do that. Hey, if you don't know Jesus, you go to hell. This is not the gospel sharing. It's a hell sharing. I know it's old-fashioned people use it. I'm sorry. I'm not just trying to criticize or say anything wrong, but I'm just saying what is makes sense to me. Sharing gospel is sharing the love of God, sharing the hope. Believe me, especially other religions like Muslims or others, they know what's the hell, how hell look like. And believe me, people who don't know Jesus yet, they know how hell look like because they live in the hell. And we as believers, we have responsibility. You don't have to be pastor. You don't have to be missionary. You don't have to be equipped. You don't have to be trained. As soon as you're born again, you are light. You cannot say, let me be charged fully. No. As soon as you're born again, your light is on. And you know what? Even the young child, maybe they don't know the Edison. Who was Edison and what is the system of the electricity, negative or positive. They know once they click the button, the light will on so they can see, they can go to the bathroom or go to the darkness. All we need to know, we need to share part of what we have in our soul and in our spirit. Because another thing that just come to me that we want to share our knowledge. This is not knowledge sharing when you're sharing gospel. This is your soul sharing. This is your spirit, your heart sharing. So we have to be prepared to share our soul with others. For that reason, we need to have a love for others. We need to care about others. If you go and do the adultery or steal something, you're doing sin, okay, that's very clear sin. But you know what? If you know your neighbor is need the help, this is my opinion. So we can have other opinion. I don't mean like I don't want to be again put anyone in a bad situation or make feel guilty. But I believe if you know somebody who is in the situation that they need the help and you able to help them and you ignore them, you are sin. You are doing sin. If you cannot help the person, that's okay. You can pray for the person. But if you're able to help, but you don't, you ignore for any reason. It's come to the Good Samaritan, right? That if you're able to help, no question, help. And that help is that sharing gospel.
I think that's the beautiful part of the second thing, which is that whole partnership with the Holy Spirit and even where I'm to turn my attention. Because in Canada, you know, Christians are a minority. So if you were to say, like, you know, every person you come in contact with today, you need to share the gospel with them. Now we've talked about that that's more to do with kind of how we manifest Jesus through, you know, the light that we bring to the world around us. But it's challenging because it's like, well, the 1,000 people I walk past today, you know, which of these people am I supposed to stop and talk to? But in the partnership with the Holy Spirit, when he lights things up, I tell people for me, it's like when it's like there's like a neon arrow that pops up every once in a while, and I'm just and I know it right away. And I'd love to tell you that my heart bursts with joy, but it's usually like, oh, this could be awkward, right? Like, what if this goes really poorly? And I think I've told this story before, but really quickly, I was in 7-Eleven. I had a deep love for Slurpees and taquitos in my past. I have since recovered by the grace of God, and. But in those days, I had gone into a 7-Eleven, and I was getting my Slurpee and taquito, and I could see a couple was counting out coins on the counter. And I immediately, the Holy Spirit was like, you should do something about that. And I was like, do something about what? They're just frugal. They're just counting out their money. They had change, you know, coming with all these reasons why it's okay. They'd be offended if I implied somehow that they couldn't afford what they were trying to buy. And I could see they were trying to like see if they could get like a little cup of macaroni and cheese and some chili or just one of those things. I was like, well, maybe they just can't decide, you know? And so I buy my taquito, my Slurpee, and I get back in my car, and Amber's in there with me, and I drive away. And like half a block down the road, I'm like, ah. And she's like, what's wrong? Just give me a few minutes. I turn around in the parking lot, come back around and pull into someone. I don't explain myself. I'm like, I'll be back in a few minutes. And I get out of the car and I go inside. They're still there. And I walk up to them and I'm like, hey, I just feel like God's told me to give you this. And I never had cash on me. I happen to have $20. And I think God wants you to have this. And they just both burst into tears. And
see, like, that's the Holy Spirit.
We were trying to figure out if we could eat tonight or not. It's not like everyone I see in 7-Eleven, I like give them $20. I don't, you know, that would be, you know, a bold move on my part. But it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh, that's the person. And I think that that's a beautiful partnership to have with God, to be paying attention. And I love the attitude when Pastor Fahim says he's going hunting. And early days, especially when I think it was right after he has an office here and he was loading up a cart. And I'm like, what are you doing? And the answer was, I'm going fishing. But there was no fishing rod. It was, like Bibles and like a flag and stuff like that. I'm like, okay. And he's like, yeah, because there's I think it was the New Year celebration
was
happening.
Christian New Year. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going fishing. And so he just goes and sets up in the parking lot and waits for God to point people out and have these interactions. And I think that's such a beautiful partnership, because when I'm going fishing, I'm not just going to stand in a lake with my hands in my pockets.
Yeah.
If I'm going hunting, I'm not just going to go sit in the forest and stare at the trees. Although some people, that is how they hunt. But the good ones go out there looking for signs, looking for what it is that they're trying to capture. And I love the orientation of listening to God for where it is that he's inviting us into someone's life, because their hearts will be ready. And we get to partner in that moment. So,
and if you miss sometime, let's say if you wasn't turned back to the 7-Eleven and give money to that person, it's okay. It's very important when you wake up in the morning, talk to Jesus, but also when you go in the bed, in the night, when you go to the bed, the last minute that you want to close your eyes, you might just review your day and see, it was a time that maybe I was doing something I was supposed to do, I didn't. Mm. Try to think what you have seen, what you heard, and let the Holy Spirit talk to you.
Mm.
And then once you meditate on that and think about that, first of all, it's easy to get fall asleep because you are again asking Holy Spirit come and just partner with you, and you are in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you will learn from it.
Mm.
Next day, you are more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So when you wake up and when you go to bed, this is the two times very important that you look and sign up for your partnership with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not saying that, hey, you should share gospel. We're saying how we should, who we should, and where, and that's we're explaining everything.
Yeah, everything's been explained. So, I mean, of course, we're all going to leave this place. And no, but I agree. And I think, to just add a little bit of a practical step to this, one of the ways that I think we also kind of underestimate is the power of our testimony. And now this means a lot of things to a lot of people, especially been in church for a long time. But there's two things in the book of Revelation that lead to the salvation of the world. And it's the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the saints. I mean, that's a pretty good list to be on. Those are two really important things. And Jesus' commission, if you read about his commissions to the disciples, he always says to them, go and tell people what I have done. So he's not saying go out there and give a full apologetics for why, I am the Son of God and list all the verses that I've satisfied. No, he says, go and tell people what you've seen. John sends some of his disciples to come and check that Jesus was the Messiah. And his response to them is like, just go and tell them what you've seen. Go and tell them what you've seen. And the power of us being able to simply share with people around us what God has done in our life.
So that was my next step that was saying that how to share that. As I said, we share our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Again, you don't share theology to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You best way to share the gospel with people is share your testimony.
Mm-hmm.
The turning point in your life. And here, I also hear when I say that, some people say, oh, I don't have testimony like you.
Well, who does? I mean.
You got me. But the thing is, when you share your testimony, first of all, if you accept Jesus and you're born again, you have a turning point in your life.
Amen.
Ask the Holy Spirit to show you that sensitive part.
Mm.
And then if you have turning point, that is mean you have a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
But also we have to be careful. Somebody who has testimony like me, I learn, when you share your testimony, remember who is the hero of the story. Sometimes our testimony, like we share it, we are a hero of that. And I try to make sure I'm not. That's why I say, okay, my testimony is good. It's chubby, juicy, but I try to not make it. I don't want to be make it. I'm not the hero of that testimony, that story. Because I was lost. I was actually a villain. I was the person who was the guilty, filthy, dirty, and I was under the darkness.
Uh-huh.
Jesus who pulled me out. He cleaned me with his blood. So he's the hero. And every one of us have that hero in our life. It's just how to present it. And you pray. And sometimes, even if you still have a hard time, come talk to us.
Yeah.
As a leader of the church, as a people who have, a lot of us here, we know how to share our testimonies. And we can help you. But this is, your testimony is your best tools that God wants to use to share the gospel with others.
And so I want to do something for you really quickly. I've taught hundreds of people how to share their testimony. And it's way less complicated than it sounds. Sometimes when you hear testimony, you think autobiography. That's not what this is. Every college student I ever did this with is like, I grew up in a small town in Saskatchewan. It's like, okay, that's great, but that's a little bit too much background for the story. And what I would actually do is I would get them to write a 3-minute testimony, which they're like, I can't possibly give my testimony in 3 minutes. And then I would remind them of the thing that I'm gonna show you here this morning. And then they'd share it, and I'm like, okay, that's great. Now I want you to get it down to 1 minute. You know, and they're okay, they didn't manage to do that. Now I want you to do it in 30 seconds. Like, okay, it said, now you have 10 seconds, because you might only have 10 seconds. You might only have 10 seconds to share a testimony. And your testimony may be about when you first became a Christian, or it may be about some other experience you've had with God. So I want to show this to you. Can we get this picture up on here, please? Okay, so this is a testimony, okay? This is a testimony. In order to have a testimony to share with someone, you got to think of something that Jesus did in your life, okay? And we all have those things. It could be salvation. It could be that there was a realization that he led you to. Like, one of my testimonies is about how I was shy and withdrawn because I didn't think anyone wanted anything from me. I wasn't going to amount to anything. And Jesus, through one of my youth leaders when I was at camp, showed me that he really does love me. That's the thing that Jesus did in my life. And that's the central feature of your testimony. Okay? That's the central feature. So Jesus did something. Now, I'll talk about my life beforehand only in so much as it refers to the thing that Jesus did.
Right.
So see, I just shared a testimony with you, half a testimony, 2/3. And I didn't start about how I was raised in a small town in Saskatchewan, because it's not actually true for me. But it's also not relevant. So I think about, what has Jesus done? What was my life like before? What did Jesus do? And then what is my life like afterwards? And that's a testimony. And we all have those things. If you're a Christian, you have your salvation story. If you've been a Christian for a long time, hopefully you have many, many stories of the ways in which Jesus has shaped your life. So we have 4 minutes before it's 5:30. And so I will covenant with you that we will wrap up at 5:30, okay? And I can see, just that I'm not, this isn't to twist your arm, but I can tell when you leave. I can see everybody from here, okay? And I know not everyone's going to be super excited about this, but we're doing it anyway, because I really felt like I wanted to do something practical to help you with all these conversations. What am I supposed to say, okay? So I'm going to give you 1 minute. There's only 3 minutes now. I'm going to give you 1 minute to think about this, okay? I'm going to leave this up here. Maybe I didn't ask for this. Maybe you can have some music in the background so it's not super awkward. 1 minute to think about this picture up here, okay? So 1 minute, we're going to do that right now. So take a look at this. What's something Jesus did? What was your life like before, and what was it like afterwards, okay? Let's do that together. So that's our 1 minute. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to share that with somebody. And I understand the costs of doing this for all the introverts in the room. I'm one of you. But you can share it with the people you've come with a friend, with your spouse. You can turn around and you can share with someone nearby. Get up and find a friend and share it with them. All I want you to do is just take 30 seconds and share your testimony with someone near to you right now, okay? So your mark, say go. Okay, if it's still the first person sharing, it's the other person's turn. In case you're an introvert paired with an extrovert, okay? Whoever went first, it's the other person's turn now. Okay, we're going to pause. We're going to have coffee afterwards. You can keep sharing your testimony, okay? We're not pausing that part. We're going to keep doing that part. But I just want to encourage you, that's it. That's how easy it is. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes long. It can be 30 seconds. And that can be enough to change someone's life. So I'm going to ask Pastor Fahim to pray for us. And then we'll wrap up. I got one more piece of information for you. So, Pastor Fahim, please.
As I am praying for you, I want you think about somebody in your family, in your friends who don't know Jesus yet. Mm-hmm. As I pray for you, you think about them. Think about that you can give them eternal life, the best gift in the Christmas. I ask the elders through the email before that, please pray. Every day for 5 minutes, pray for somebody who don't know Jesus yet, and continue to pray for that person, you know, until Christmas finish. So, because we want in this season of hope, give people hope, right? We are responsible to share. So this is not just 1 minute sharing. For the rest of your life, you need to share.
Amen.
So be prepared. That's a practice.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for today. Thank you for such a time that you are allowing us to be partner with you in open book. Be partner with you openly, that we can see, and you helping us to how to do that, Father. So I pray for my brothers and sisters, each souls here, Father. Allow them to know that they have you in their hearts. Allow them to see you, to feel you. Allow them to feel Holy Spirit in their souls and in their spirit. And Father, help them to share that soul with others. Mm-hmm. Soul of hope, love, and eternal life. Mm-hmm. And allow them to experience the joy that they can see somebody because of them come to the kingdom. Just like a joy that when somebody born in our families, newborn baby, Father, how we are joyful. Allow them to experience the joy of the salvation in their families, in their friends. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, everybody, just a quick reminder, please don't go into the atrium where the wedding's set up, or I will sick the bride on you. Please, the chapel's open.
You.
Stay, share your
Thank
testimony
you.
With each other. Go as light bearers into the world, because that is who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.